Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, guys. We are the Hoops Have a Bison's podcast. Don is not available today, but it is I, Reddit Mavericks, joined with my friend Squish. How are you doing, Squish?
It is I, Squish.
And we're also joined with John, who's a host for the Saratoga Sports Podcast. How are you doing, John?
I'm good, man. I've been waiting. To jump on this.
Yeah, bro. This is the perfect time to do it, because what just happened, guys? What just happened?
We continued our streak of not winning at home
by but we
stealing
won.
A game in L.A.
But we won. Fuck it.
Road fucking Warriors, man. Whoa. Shit.
Oh,
that
my
was
God.
Stressful. But we did it. I don't care. Like, the refs swallowed every single fourth quarter whistle, and we still fucking won. It was amazing.
Yeah, bro.
Absolutely amazing.
They were jobbing us so bad, bro.
Oh, they were jobbing so fucking hard in the second half, and we still won.
So
like,
fuck
they just
them.
Forget that Boban's a giant of a human, so, like, everyone has to attack him to actually get near the ball.
Yeah.
It's so fucking like, dude.
I can only call the blatantly obvious stuff. This is the amount of, like, slap-chop steals the Clippers were getting. You saw Powell. I watched Powell do the equivalent of, like, getting angry. There was a steal, like, someone chopped him on the arm, and then he just kind of waved at the ref, but underhanded, so he couldn't see him.
Oh, my God.
I mean, listen, Dwight managed to get the fan base back behind him.
He hasn't played much, and he was unleashed tonight, and I think that big lineup at the beginning kind of opened everything up for him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, sure. Dude, I mean, okay, so, like, let's talk about that lineup to start the game, because before the game started, everybody was like, oh my God, this is gonna be really bad. Again, I was very reserved because I know Rick. At this point, like, it's been a love-hate relationship for, like, 10 years now. Like, whatever, how long it's been. Like, what, 13, 14 years now? And, you know, I know not to doubt him when it comes to, like, these, like, against-the-wall, like, type of games. This is what this game was. And he pulled off some magic, bro. Putting Boban as a starter and KP at the four was actually really fucking smart. Like, I can't believe it, bro. Like, and this is like another wrinkle that Ty Lue is gonna have to, like, worry about, you know, in the next game. Like,
Boban, and then the added pressure
on a he uses an NBA hoop as a nerf hoop.
He does. And he does.
Really all
does.
You gotta do is just throw it down there, and he's like, all right, turn around, that's it. Or they have to collapse, and then he can pass, so it works out. I know you guys talked about that after the last game. It's like his playmaking is good, so if they're gonna collapse, it's either hopefully going to be a foul call, which wasn't happening in the first half, or it was just kicking to an open shooter.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, so that lineup was crazy. I can't believe that Rick just, like, pulled that shit out. And, like, and even, like, he leaked it to Tim Gato, you know, and Tim is talking about it. You know, everybody's like, I saw Tim Gato, you know, Gato got, he got ratioed. Sorry, Tim. He got ratioed by it. And I was like, well, you know, let's see what happens, bro. But, like, we'll discuss this later on, and we end up doing, because originally we weren't going to record a podcast, because I think me and Squish were just, like, tired, and Don's had a long week anyway, so we weren't going to record originally. But, I mean, we won the game. Again, the refs swallowing their fucking whistles like the cowards that they are. Bro, I mean, like, that last quarter was a very, like, grit and grind. Sorry, Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
It was a grit and grind quarter, and we needed that, so.
Yeah. Well, and it was cool to – it wasn't – I mean, the last 6 minutes of the game were absolute chaos. But that was a both-sides thing, which is great. because I was waiting. Like, are the Clippers ever going to have a weird quarter? Like, I'm tired of this shit. And finally it happened.
Yeah.
And we were honestly, Dorian Finney-Smith, just give him the belt. Name it after him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There were so many things he did tonight that just changed possessions, especially down the stretch. Just let him have the belt. Let him eat the belt. Like, whatever the fuck he wants to do with it. He was great. He was great. Yeah, Dwight Powell. Oh, my God.
Just like
Porzingis with a timely corner three. So many things to enjoy about a really ugly win, but a win is a win in a playoff series. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah, that show was fucking disgusting. But
the game wasn't ugly until the refs made it ugly, exactly. In my humble opinion. And Luka had some tough breaks. Yeah, Luka had some tough breaks in the fourth. Like, some shots went in and out, but that's where guys stepped up. KP finally hit a shot. He still doesn't look like he's having fun out there, and I get it. He wants to play the five, but until he can, like, demand, like claim that position.
Yeah, demand their presence. Yeah.
Like, cry me a fucking river. Buy in. Buy into what you're good at. And right now, that's being a power forward and spacing the floor. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a bad matchup for him.
He was like, I feel like, I was playing with Dwight. I'm kind of getting used to playing the four. And then right into the postseason, it was like, no, I'm just not going to contribute or even be into the game at all.
Jesus, dude.
If KP can just realize he's like a Bosch in this situation.
Unfortunately for him,
the Clippers are fucked.
Yeah, bro. Like, it's like KP's all, I mean, Luka's obviously the LeBron. And then we have like Tim as like the Dwayne Wade. And then KP. KP has to be the Bosch, bro. Like, that's what he is. And,
Tim as Dwayne Wade is so wild, but like, we need him to be Dwayne Wade for us.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah, we have to.
That's the thing. Tim made time he plays on an off night. He did not shoot well. It was an ugly game.
Fuck no.
Which means we could get Inferno Tim next game to close this out at home. And I want that so badly. So badly.
That's what we need. If Tim goes, we go. Like, the rest of the team goes. Luka's going to do what he does regardless. But Tim gets hot and he busts his ass, and it's like, when he's down, everyone's down. But when he's up, he gets everyone into it, taking the charges, which he didn't do tonight, but he did everything else he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Once he's hot, he's taking those threes confidently and they're going down. I already know, like, it's going to be a good night for everyone else.
Tim hit big shots, and my favorite possession of the game for Tim was when this asshole, Reggie Jackson, like, who just cannot miss against the Mavericks. Like, he can't.
He can't,
pisses me off. And it's when he hits the threes. It's always like a momentum-breaking thing. I'm like, of course, this piece of shit, Reggie Jackson, with his Horace Grant goggles right on fucking cue. And then Tim got sick of his shit. I watched him physically get sick of his shit and just bodied up on him this one possession. Wasn't letting anybody screen him off of him. Just got in his face and made him miss a three. It was awesome. I was like, thank you, somebody. Back to that lineup stuff. Like, I think everyone flipped out, right? Because it sounds insane.
Yes.
It sounds crazy.
It's like you're putting Boban.
In the era of small ball and spacing and movement, this is nuts. But also, no one in the league has a look like that. And Rick said it himself after the first quarter. And it felt very much like, I mean, the first thing he said, well, it's a rhythm changer. I'll fucking say, trotting out two Ents out there at the same time with a lineup that's already really big when your point guard is 6'7". It was a great call. It changed it up. It made them have to play a center quite a bit, which allowed Powell to play and thrive. It just changed the whole energy of the game. And defensively, where and again, you were talking about knowing Rick, we've got this, we go way back now, he's been here a while.
Yeah, for better or worse.
They knew what they were getting into with that lineup. When you trot something like that out there, you know its shortcomings defensively. So they were ready for the fact that the Clippers were going to get a lot of threes up, because the idea is to keep them from ripping us to shreds in the paint, because they've been doing it every game. Even the first two games where we stomped them, pretty much, they were having their way in the paint. So we just decided we're not going to let them have both. They're going to hit these threes. They're going to hit these threes. But it's amazing how that works when the pressure is on and how it doesn't. Because we've seen our own team fail by the three. The Clippers just kind of It seems like I don't know if it was the nerves from collapsing last year, but that's got to be somewhere in the back of their minds a little bit, because they looked wild down the stretch. It helped that the Mavs finally hit another gear defensively that we haven't seen all series, and I hope that continues, man. There's so much to be excited about. We're up 3-2 with a home game this week.
With a home game. With a fucking home game, bro.
With a fucking home game.
Fuck.
If you're not hype, if your blood's not just cranking, like, dude, go do something fucking crazy. Like, get a late night Whataburger, have a dance party at your house. I don't know what you're doing, but enjoy this win and get hype as shit for this next one, because I don't want to do the jinx thing where you predict anything.
No, I can't. I can't. No,
I can't say.
I'm in the moment, bro. Like, fuck
think about it. Like, I just know how I feel right now. I just know how I feel right now, and in the least subtle way possible. I gotta say, I will find a way to buy a ticket for that fucking game.
All right, so John,
gotta be there for this.
What do you have to say, bro?
Tonight was probably, I don't want to say I wasn't excited for this game, but it was one of those where it's like, even when I'm going out to work, like I'm going to work out today, my boy's like, Mavs winning tonight? And I'm like, I'm going to say yes. Are they? I don't feel too confident, but I'm going to say yes regardless. Yeah. And they showed up. Well, Luka showed up, and then the rest of the team followed along. But I really think, like I said, like that biggest thing where it's just like, all right, you know what? We've lost enough as Mavs fans. We've seen us hit threes and lose games. We did it in game three. So for us, like you said, to just completely change it and be like, all right, here's what's going to happen. We're going to force them to rely more on their role players. Because Paul George and Kawhi, we held Kawhi to under 30 tonight, which he's been cooking this entire season. He's being in full robot mode. And part of it is just getting whatever he wanted inside. So and then now it's like Rick Carlisle ran a trick play. And now he really might just do another one. And I don't know. I expect a big game from Tim. Like, I want Inferno Tim. I expect Inferno Tim. I want 30 from Tim. And, like, I need 6 from Porzingis, and I'm okay.
Dude. Man, I'm just like, that entire game, like, my fiance is sitting next to me, like, for about 90% of the game. And I'm just, like, sweating fucking bullets the entire time. And, like, this is, like, the first time I think, like, she's ever actually been, like, really invested in the playoffs. Where, like, last year, like, at the bowl playoffs, do they really count? Blah, blah. Like, there's no crowd. There's, like, no, like, back and forth, really, you know? And today, bro, she saw me. Like, she was like, hey, do you want a beer? Like, at the second quarter, which, like, I asked that question. I was like, hey, like, should I drink anything? Because I don't want to fucking fuck up the vibes. Like, I am, despite the fact that, like, my profession is very scientifically based, like, I am super superstitious, which, like, isn't smart, like, at all. Like in the realm of things, like, what I do does not dictate the team at all. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, like, if I have a beer, is it gonna fuck with the vibes? If I change my shirt at halftime, is it gonna fuck with the vibes? Like, if I'm not wearing, like, this certain jersey, like, what does it do, you know, stuff like that. This game, it was, like, fucking paramount, like, to the season, obviously to the season, right? And obviously to, like, and I think Mavs Draft, like, tweeted it earlier in the day, where it was like, Rick needs to take this game as, like, a must win, or he's in the hot seat, which, like, isn't really what it is, because Rick's gonna be here as long as he wants to, basically, you know, like, for better or for worse, like, he's right, he, like, you know, he earned that with the 2011 championship, you know, but you know, he was like, Rick needs to fucking, he needs to play it like it's a do or die, basically. And it kind of is, man. I think, like, what is it? Is it something like 75% of the teams that win the game five win the series, bro? Like, that's a big fucking chunk of teams that have won the series. I don't know, dude. Like, I've had like the subreddits for Utah Jazz, the subreddit for Atlanta Hawks, like, getting on my ass on Twitter about, like, hey, like, you guys got to win. And it's like, motherfucker, I am trying. Like, you know, like, like,
CJ McCollum tweet.
Yes. I was like, I'm trying, Jennifer. Like, I'm fucking trying, dude. Like, I'm trying so hard. Like, how much more can I do for the team besides just tweet about it? You know, like, mm-hmm. So we have a few questions, a few being, like, a lot. We're going to pick a few because it's the playoff time, and you know, we're trying to again, like, and John, it's what, like 1:17 in the night for you? Like, yeah, it's late. So, and I don't know what you got to do in the morning, but we're going to pick a few just to
not
go.
Not a damn thing.
Well,
I'm good.
Well, fuck. Okay. We'll pick a few anyway, though, because there's a lot.
Dr. Redacted has work in the morning.
Yeah. See, Dr. Redacted has work. Okay. Simon said, Barkley saying guarantee we won't win another game. Get this fool. Fucking Charles Barkley. Thank you so much. Like, I don't know what your record is. Like, I haven't seen, I need to research it, but like your record of like claiming something and it going the complete opposite, bro. Cause it's worked so far, dude. Like, we won today's game. Like,
Barkles pushed that button because he likes Dirk.
He loves Dirk. Oh,
he
absolutely
knew what would happen when he guaranteed we wouldn't win.
he says he doesn't check the internet, bro. He absolutely checks the internet. There's no
he
way
he does.
There's
he's
no
got a
way.
Burner.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely, bro. So
even if he's not, you know, someone's telling him.
Oh yeah,
someone's got
his friends have the internet.
Absolutely,
they tell him, "Hey, you're getting your ass handed to you on Twitter."
Tell him Shaq's not in his ear every commercial break,
right? Bro, just like Shaq's constantly on Twitter, bro. He has to be. But, you know, I think Shaq out of those four are like the constantly most online guys ever. So,
oh yeah,
how else is he going to get all his advertisements?
Then? Right, exactly. Brandon asks, question: will any team ever purposely tank at the end of their season to play Luka Doncic? No, that's it was stupid. Like, in even at the time, it was like, you're really gonna tank to a guy who like put up like 40, 38, 37 of you guys the last season in the bubble. Like, and this season, we're gonna have fans because, you know, Squish knows this, John knows this. Like, in Texas, it's all about the vibes, no COVID, like, it's all about vibes,
no mask, just vibes,
yeah, bro. No mask, just vibes, you know. So, at those games at the AAC, bro, there's fucking thousands of people there now, you know. Like, no, dude, I don't know why the fuck they decided to purposely tank for us. I mean, I think they weren't really tanking for us. They were tanking to avoid the Lakers, who are about to be out of the playoffs anyway. So, like, was it really like a good idea for them to do that? I don't know, but
I really think that I do think they tanked for us. I think that after last season, they felt that they could still bully us. They felt that the role players weren't good. They felt that at the end of the day, Luka was going to do Luka, but the rest of the team wasn't going to beat us. And they wanted to avoid the Lakers, and I honestly think they didn't want to see the Blazers first round either. And they were like, all right, I guess dealing with Luka and his merry band of men is, you know, the best situation. And now look, you know what I mean? You know, Tim put together a great season. It's like people forget that how, I'm not going to say young anymore, but inexperienced, I would say, our team was right before last season. And then you have another entire year to get better and develop and be like, okay, this is what the playoffs is like. Yes, it's the bubble, but these games matter. This is the environment we're in. Everything is harder. The matchups are going to be different. And our team responded. Like, go ahead.
They tanked to play against year three Luka Doncic.
Like, this man was the first compete, pro last year.
He would compete with a bag of chips by his side. Like, and this is, he had his star making series last year. This is his perennial. I mean, he was that already, but like, for those outside of Dallas, this is his, oh, he's a legit major problem. And it's a super, super Hall of Fame superstar making series, because you can't tell me in a league where stars want to play with stars that some players are not watching that guy and going, I want to play with that. Hey, watching his teammates, you know what I mean? Like, and we've had dudes step up, but like, there's going to be some studs that want to lay some up with Luka.
Listen, I hear there might be some contract negotiations out in Miami, and one of my favorite players, you know what I'm saying? We might have a 7-3 lobbying available. so if we can get, you know, a real hard-nosed guy.
Hard worker. Very lunch pail to the... Very lunch pail.
Fucking takes bites out of 25-pound weights.
Yeah.
Makes a strong cup of coffee.
Yeah. Shout out Big Face.
Big Face.
New sponsor of the Hoops and Hefeweizen podcast.
Well, it was fun for all of us, bro, at this point. Spike Yul Ass wants to say, I want to apologize for all Dwight Powell slander I've ever said. I agree with this. You don't?
I don't apologize because I would say the Vibrat helped him become the player he is today.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm a push on this.
That bit has peaked tonight.
I saw that tweet and I was like, I couldn't, fucking asshole.
It just, my cartoon brain, dude. Like, I knew I'd hit four rats, which is a record. And I was like, it's a fifth Mamba fuck. Number, Vibrat number five. Oh my God. And just I threw that tweet out of my brain immediately. Christ.
All right, let's see.
What a great night.
Next question. How do you say your name? R4881T. Oh, shit. Says.
Elon Musk kid?
Oh, fuck yeah. Says, are the Dallas Mavs really just better out a team in other people's arenas? Like, seriously, how? Dude, I don't fucking.
That was us last season.
Yeah, seriously, last season was fucking terrible. Yeah.
It's hard to make that call this season because we didn't have fans for so much of it. But that's kind of the trend. And then I think in just thinking about how I felt being at, so like game four was just a bad game because Luka was hurt. He wasn't right, and if he's not right, we're screwed. Game three though, and Rubes can attest to this. I mean, the energy was so intense at the start of that game. I think coming off of that high just sapped everything out of everybody, honestly.
Yeah,
because the crowd stayed high, but like I was exhausted by halftime. I was like, whoa, because everybody just got it out, dude, because we've been waiting on a capacity crowd for so long. And I think the players, that applies to them too. I think coming off of that high a little bit, not to make excuses, but like, so I mean, it wore off, and then the Clippers began to feed off of it.
Hey, Julius Randle said it in his struggles after the first game where he was like, the energy in the arena, having fans going, all right, I kind of put everything into that first half and it showed in the second half.
Yeah. I think there's some validity to that.
Yeah. Paul George said it too. When they were asking him, they were like, you know, you guys came back against the team in the postgame interview. He's like, honestly, it's just nice to have a crowd and to like feel that energy again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you've never experienced it before, which the Mavs haven't, you know,
I just want to know what Mavs team we're going to see next game, because now they've acclimated to the fan energy.
Yeah.
And it looked like there were more fans at the Staples Center tonight than there were last game. I think they probably opened that up a tad because they were like, well, the Mavs had this kick-ass crowd. We can't do this to our guys.
Yeah.
I think now that they're acclimated, we may see a crazy game. I don't know. I hope we do. I want so many things to happen, but I can't. Again, and we'll talk about this privately, like these tweets about certain stats or predicting X or Y. That is a curse to me.
Yeah,
anytime you start like the first quarter stat, you know, we were what, 28-0, and then
the second we lost that game, I was like, I'm not talking about that shit ever again, bro.
It's
like,
a damn stat.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone started talking about, oh, we were undefeated after the first quarter if we got the lead. And I'm like, oh, y'all have cursed this, though. It's like when you talk about how good of a free throw shooter somebody is during the game, they start missing.
Bibbs tweeted this right before, like when they showed that stat, like at the end of the regular season. And he just went, well, all we got to do is win the first quarter and we'll just win every game.
I was like, damn it.
Dang it.
But I know I know Bibbs though, bro. Bibbs, like, he takes that shit with like a, you know, grain of salt all the time. So you know, he was probably just like, fuck it, like at that point. Next question comes from Feb. Which alley-oop is better, Tim Hardaway Jr. to Luka or Steph to Dirk in the All-Star game?
Steph to Dirk.
Yeah. At the moment, that's like a paramount moment in Dirk's career. It's like catching a lob at like age like what, like 38,
and he dunked it.
Yeah, and he dunked it. Like, and yeah,
Luka jumped just as high tonight and just got the layup.
Luka's 6'7" and finished that shit like I would have. Like, it was great. It was so good, dude.
Oh my God!
And just the audacity of Timothy Dwayne Hardaway Jr. to fucking throw that shit up. I was like, you're kidding me. Luka has to make this, right? And he did. And then the refs were like, slow down there, buckaroos. There's an LA team in danger. You got to stop in and deal with this. Mavs are like, not
we gotta
today.
We got to become an actual big market team after this.
Have to,
like,
bro.
Real life.
I have to be.
We have like, to, bro.
We like, are. We're just,
that's what I'm saying.
Not LA. It's stupid. Dallas is massive. I don't. Yeah, it's changing. I think Luke
is
changing it.
That no one respects as a big market team. So after mm-hmm. this, and with the free agency that would be after the next season,
oh yeah,
I expect us to be treated like a big market team.
Yeah. I think Luke is changing it.
I think
before
so
our eyes, and the fact that Dallas is growing at a ridiculous
crazy
rate.
Rate,
it's just, it's crazy here.
The housing market is fucking.
The market is changing. Here. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Dude, Texas and Florida, no mask, just vibes. So everyone's
exactly
like, all
right,
I might as well go there.
Fuck. Okay, let's see. Next question comes from Alvaro. He says, or Alvaro, I don't know how the fuck you say your name, bro. What needs to be different in the next home game compared to the first two? I think the number one thing,
hit shots.
No, yeah, first of all, hit shots. Second of all, unfortunately, like for this series, dude, Luka cannot rest. Like, he's mm-hmm. gonna have to like today, like he played like 42, 43 minutes, bro. Like
he had to.
Yeah, he had to.
I called that too. I said Luka can't play less than 40. He's gonna play 40 plus.
It's like he's gonna rest. Like he played all of the first quarter. He like rested like 3 minutes of the second quarter. Like it's gonna be that way the series. Like he has to, man. Like, you know, like unfortunately, like guys will step up on occasion, but they're not stepping up at a frequency where like I feel comfortable with it, you know. Like you saw what happened with that 19 point lead, you know, at the AAC. Like that can happen again, you know. Like you can't rest Luka as much as you would like to, and Luka's young, I think, and he gets injured, but he's able to bounce back really fucking quickly because again he's fucking 22. I just think you're gonna have to play him, you know, a lot of fucking minutes.
Do we rag on him?
Huh?
The Clippers are a good team.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm saying, as much as you drag on, the Clippers are a good team. And that's it. Like, they're not a team that we can beat with our bench out there for extended minutes of time. Like, they're just not. With, like, Luka's going to have to be out there. And it's unfortunate because he's not 100%. But no, it's the playoffs. No one's 100%. And it's just like, hopefully this is the game that propels everyone to get going like they did in the first two games. Because if we get that, if we get him going to the bench and Jalen Brunson getting an and one for like four possessions in a row again, then he can rest for a little bit. But the probability of that is not too high. It's very, all right, he comes out the game. Well, there goes the lead.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's just what it has to be, man. Like, unfortunately for Luka, I think Luka's one of those guys where it's just like, fuck it, bro. Like, if I got to do this shit, I got to do this shit. You know, like, I think Luka either played 40 minutes a game or like 30 minutes a game. It doesn't really matter to him. I think he's gonna go out there and fucking play.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't think it's gonna be let's see. Okay, Duke wanted us to look at KP getting no touches, which is true. I feel it was because he's been underperforming, but he was wide open for three or four wide open kickouts. That's true also. I saw that from Dorian and Tim actually.
One, some of those you saw, like Dodo, he missed him and, you know, immediately said, hey, my bad. Like they acknowledge when that happens, and the Clippers are rotating at an insane speed. So that is going to happen sometimes, especially with like 4 seconds left on the shot clock. A few guys panicked, I think. It's tough. It's a tough matchup for KP specifically because he can't create against what the Clippers are throwing at him. Unfortunately, they've got big, strong wings, and you know, that used to give a 7 foot younger Dirk fits, somebody with a balsa wood frame like Porzingis. It's been rough.
You know, I've noticed Tim KP where he's playing very much like Derrick Rose off the injuries, where it's like it's almost like he's so afraid to be aggressive that he's just in his head is like, all right, the moment I start really trying to be aggressive or do anything in the paint, set a hard screen, anything that involves any sense of physicality, he's like automatically timid. He's automatically just worried about it. And it's like, it's showing where every time he gets someone small on him in the post, he's like, I'll take two steps. And if they push back a little bit, I'll just settle. And it sucks because for someone like him, who's such a rhythm player, for him to get those easy looks, you got to roll. And he's not setting the hard screen. And he's not really rolling either way.
He doesn't roll hard. And that's, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's frustrating when he is the screener, because sometimes he'll kind of, when he does roll, it's this half-assed kind of, well, there's a person there. I don't want to. It's like, if he would just gun it like Powell does, like, he could do so much.
Thing. With the two of them, they can score from anywhere. So that pick and roll, it should be like, all right, it's either roll or pop. Regardless, either of them is going to be able to score. But it's like, all right, baby screen, I'm going to either half-ass roll or half-ass pop.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't want to, like, bring the vibes down, but it's like, is he saving himself for his new team?
You've said this before on the podcast, bro. Like, you've said this before.
I mean, it's just, it feels weird to say it after a win, but, like, I just can't figure out what's up with the guy. He didn't even celebrate when he hit that corner three. That was a massive shot. I don't know where his head is right now.
I was thinking the same thing, where I was like, he does not look like he enjoys playing basketball. But at the same time, I've been the guy who everything's been going terrible. So when one thing goes good and your team's all hyping you up, you're like, please, I still have all 20 missed shots in front of me.
Yeah.
But I mean, hey, that's listen, true. Like I said, Pat Riley, we have a 7-3 lobby and that might be available. he would pair well with Bam. Also, he would pair well with Jason Tatum. You know, injured player over there in Boston is not a good fit for the city of Boston because he's an activist. So KP is white, and he's
it's so good.
There's moves that could be made.
It's so great to have another person of color on this podcast. let's see.
Oh, that's great.
I know Squish is like, fuck, I'm white.
Let's go. Oh, yeah, fuck. God damn it.
Let's see.
Side note, if Jaylen Brown ended up as a Maverick, I know a certain individual that would lose his fucking mind.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a good way.
Okay. I mean,
Grant would cry like a baby, happily.
Well, you know, Grant doesn't. I was not the podcast. Okay. Let's see. Trey asks, VP Powell being the backbone of our team. He wants to talk about this. Yeah, bro. I think, hey, like, honestly, dude, like, there were certain points where I wanted Powell out there more than KP. Like, just, like, the energy that he brought. Like, just, like, the way that he was trying to crash those boards. You know, like, it's fucking Dwight Powell. But, like, just, like...
he's stronger this year, though.
Yeah, he really is. And I'm just like, bro, like, I'm fucking for it, dude. Like, I am so, like... And it's so crazy to me that he didn't fucking play a lot of minutes till tonight's game. Like, I don't know if like Rick just like had him
especially the way Maxie was getting bullied.
Yeah, dude, I was like, bro, like, fucking Dwight Powell's right there, bro. At least like he might like swing, you know, like you know, like I don't know, bro. Dwight to me is like a wild card, and I'm just like, bro, like I
absolutely is. But he has a contagious energy, as evidenced by that third quarter run, because that won us the game. Because if we didn't have that run and had a fourth quarter like that, it was over. He changed the game, the third quarter, single-handedly.
Like, he's looking like bench mob Dwight from before he got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And also, he was under control at some points going to the basket tonight, which is, like, the wildest concept for me. Like, with the Euro, with getting that blocking foul on Kawhi, where I think Dorian or someone looked at him and was like, yo, just go up and dunk on him. And he was like, yeah, he was sliding. Like, it was the conscious effort of being like, I'm not just going to run 100% like full speed in a straight line. I was like, all right, let's see what we got. Let's just try and get the smartest thing out of it. And while still being a high energy guy, and it worked out great. And also he gets pulled every possession when he boxes out, especially when they're smaller, every possession he's getting like just pulled away. So to me, like that gravity as a rebounder is huge, especially on a team where no one wants to fucking rebound.
Powell got a crazy offensive rebound at one point that led to a THJ three. I mean, he jumped over like four people, just snagged it, and then Timmy was like, without hesitation, I gotta do it.
Bro, just
those insane shot attempts. Also, I loved where Maxie came up, and I just re-remembered how satisfying it was to watch him without hesitation, first sign of bullshit, shove Marcus Morris past the basket. Just get out of here.
Yeah, bitch. Dude. Just like, you gotta, yeah. Like,
fake tough guy BS as usual.
Listen, biggest fake tough guy is freaking Terrence Mann. And the way he is getting me so aggravated this series I'm someone who, listen, if you play hard, you work your ass off on defense, I'm usually cool with you. But between him getting taken out by the sniper last game and like all the fake tough guy stuff, and you talk about Luka complaining, this man complains even when he's not in the play. Like, and also he's taking the same shot every time.
What's that meme? Terrence Mann's complaining to the ref, and he's like, "You've taken everything from me." And the ref's like, "I don't even know who you are."
Literally. And it's
dude's
like,
hustling, but he's flopping like just chicken shit basketball. I can't appreciate it. Like, he got that flagrant or whatever. Or oh no, I guess it was a common foul, but flopping on Boban's supposed elbow.
Yeah,
like,
Boban just turned
so
around.
So ridiculous. The next possession down, like, he's all over Luka, and Luka just kind of stepped back a little bit. He tried to flop on that too, and Luka gave him a bucket. Just like, quit flopping, play basketball. I'm tired of you.
Please,
Terrence,
just force him left. He's taking the same shot every time. Just force him left.
Who tweeted the like 2 games ago? Someone said more like Terrence Baby.
Who the fuck was that? Because I wish that would have been me. Because I would have tweeted that.
I'm disappointed in myself,
bro. It's funny. It's funny though, because like, so like, oh fuck, Bryce Patrick of the editor in chief of MFL is on the podcast right now. Bryce Patrick.
There we are.
Out of nowhere.
Oh fuck, your audio is weird. Okay, there you are.
You sound like a Terminator.
Yeah, I was moving my mic.
So Bryce, so we have Squish and we have my friend John on. So,
what up, friends?
So Terrence Mann, right? Okay, so my fiance, like, was on her phone, like, just scrolling Twitter, and, like, heard, like, I guess someone say Terrence Mann on the broadcast, and was like, wait, what? So I didn't realize this, but Terrence Mann is the name of a really prominent Broadway actor. Like, and so my fiance was like, what the fuck? Like, that's the guy who played, like, the Beast in Beauty of the Beast, and, like, some guy in Les Miserables, whatever the fuck. And I'm like, oh,
Les
that's
Mis.
Cool.
Come
nah,
on.
Les
Miserables.
Oh,
come
fuck.
On.
I don't fucking know, bro. Anyway. So,
Les
like,
Miserables.
So she's like, oh, okay, that's not the guy. And I was like, yeah, bro. Like, this dude's like a 20-something-year-old, like, black dude. Like, it's not, like. But she...
Sorry, this decrepit white man isn't playing in the NBA right now.
I was like, what the fuck?
You're retired already.
No, and then she tweeted about it. And, like, people were asking about him. And I was like, I don't know who the fuck this is, bro. Like, you ask her, like, she's very much cornering the market of, like, Broadway and NBA, like, on the timeline. It's like her intersection of things.
Didn't someone call him Old Paul Rudd?
Yes. That was that was Mavs Network. Shout out to you, Mavs Network. Because I know you're going to listen to this later. But, dude, this game, like, I just can't get over this game. Because, like, again, like, I think a lot of people's vibes coming into this game were, oh fuck, we're gonna fucking lose this game.
Everything sucks, and I hate everything. We're gonna die, and we deserve it. That was my vibes going in.
Yeah, I was like, oh fuck, dude, like, here we fucking go. Like, I'm not in a headspace to watch the Texas Rangers. I'm gonna watch the Mavs instead.
Nor should anybody be.
No, bro, the Texas Rangers suck asses here. Anyway, but sorry.
What else isn't?
It's because John's a Yankees fan, so, you know.
Here.
But no, dude, like, I just, this game ended up being very, like, it was fun for a little bit in the third quarter, and I was like, oh my god, bro, we're up, like, 17, holy shit, like, fuck yeah, bro, the vibes are fucking immaculate again. And then it was, like, fourth quarter, I was like, no, they're not immaculate, they're actually, the vibes are very real, but they're barely hanging on the thread. I don't know, man. It's
like, I was up in my seat when Kawhi got that and one, and was like, okay,
yeah,
deep
was
breathing. Here we go.
So, okay, so Ka Swiss wants to know about the KP, the 3-point clutch shot in the fourth quarter. Again, bro, KP has not had a good series, like, by all metrics, like, across the board, he's been pretty pedestrian. And I don't know what it is, dude. Like, people have asked me, like, hey, what do you think it is? And I'm like, hey, it could be injuries. It could be apathy. It could be the fact that he's, like, mad that he's not, like, the 1B to Luka's 1A. Because honestly, dude, like, no one on this team.
I want to give him a lot of credit for this game. Because he has not been there. He did exactly what he needed to do this game. He was as engaged as he can be defensively. He was sticking his big long arms up in the air, grabbing some rebounds, causing some havoc. Like, he is very skinny. He is very frail. And after that, like, that first shot, that first post shot that he had against, I think when he posted up Rondo and took a super contested, like, mid-range shot, I was like, all right, that sucks. But basically after that, and after that stretch, like, in the second half, he was doing everything he needed to. He had that one stretch. He got three fouls. Yeah, besides scoring. But, like, he was just spacing. That was his entire point. That was the only thing he was being asked to do. And, you know, he was doing it. And he came up with some big plays down the stretch, came up with an offensive rebound, and just the most important three-pointer he has ever hit in his entire career. And it's not even close.
That's very true. I will say that Rondo post up, I know exactly which one you're talking about, and he 100,000% got hit on the elbow, but what do I know? I just hate the refs. Yeah. That's a good point. I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because I was just thinking about how hard his job was tonight, especially defensively, because we did run a lot of zone with Boban, but Boban was protecting the rim, and that puts KP's goofy ass out on the corner, like guarding perimeter guys, and he struggled with that at times, but there were times where he did it quite well. There were a few times I yelled at the TV, but it's like, it's a bend but don't break strategy, and I think it worked really well. And I said earlier before you joined, Bryce, that this Rick said it was a rhythm changer, and that was 100% accurate. It changed the whole rhythm, because the Clippers kind of didn't handle it well at first and gave us exactly what we wanted from them, which was no layups, bunch of threes. What do we do?
Yeah, and like the thing is, like the Mavs were doing a really good job of scrambling, because they do a lot of, like, because, I mean, Boban isn't a traditional, like, rim protector. Like, he is tall and big and whatever. But, like, the Mavs were doing a lot of, like, kind of weak, like, faking a double when guys came into the lane, and then, like, charging out, closing out really well to the three-point shooters. Which, like, normally you would think, like, a lot of people that I was listening to before this this game were thinking, like, okay, like, the Mavs cannot do the zone because the Clippers are such a great jump-shooting team. But the closeouts were excellent, and, like, I didn't think KP had that mobility in him to, like, kind of, like, fake the hard double for Paul George when he or whoever was driving the lane, and then go out and contest the corner shooters. But he did it, and he did it quite a bit in the second half, and that was really big for the Mavericks. I mean, and, man, I'm sure y'all have already talked about it, but that third quarter run where Dwight Powell was just everywhere, like, this was Dwight Powell's one shining moment, and it was incredible. And he was 1,010% up for it. And I lived for it. I'm still living for it.
Yeah. That third quarter from Powell was a masterclass in what effort brings to your teammates. Damn. No, really, like, for what he brings.
No, I know.
For all the shit, like that we give him, myself included, like, that was, I mean, KP's shot was the most, that was Dwight Powell's most important basketball of his life.
Yeah. No,
I was in that third quarter, and he, like, just elevated everybody. The Clippers were like, huh? What is this shit?
So my brain.
It's got to be extra devastating to be getting.
Why is Aaron Judge playing basketball, and why is he out here out jumping everyone?
So my brain, when you said masterclass, went immediately to, like, EPL football and was like,
oh,
you know, that's what I was like. That's what my brain was like, hold on.
I really do feel like this entire game was just a testament of just, like, effort.
Yes.
And like, it, across the board, because, like you're saying with Porzingis, like, that's just shows, like, if he's engaged in the game and he's out here really trying, it makes that big of a difference. There's some times where he got stuck in between two 3-point shooters because the swing is coming, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that, because it shows that he's trying to at least be like, okay, I know I have to be there. One of them's going to shoot it. He's putting in that effort. Then, like we said, we get Dwight Powell have a bunch of minutes. And the defensive MVP, Dorian Finney-Smith, there was a stretch of just four consecutive just tip balls. Like, it just shows, like, for a Dota team as lauded as the Clippers, for the roster they have, for everything going on, for us to be doing what we're doing, with a bench that no one really looks at, with a bunch of players that when Luka's off the floor, nothing gets done. It really just shows how much effort plays, especially in playoff basketball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When this team just has an iron will, they're not afraid of anybody, good night or bad.
They're really not. They are
fearless, and it's awesome. It's awesome. And last thought on KP, This is, again, just a terrible matchup for him. The Clippers playing small is still bigger than most other teams playing small because they're just so loaded with really, really great wings. It's tough for him. I think of, like, Dirk struggles against, not that I'm drawing an equal comparison, everyone relax, but like how the Golden State Warriors used to bother the crap out of Dirk in, like, 2007, whatever it was.
Yes, that was 2007.
Just think of that. It's just a tough matchup for him. He doesn't have anything to deal with that, at least not yet. I don't know if he ever will. It's hard to get leverage when you're 7'3" and not Boban.
Yeah.
This is one of the teams with, like, the deepest, like, wing rotations of, like, very, very good defensive wings. Like, they've got two of, like, maybe the three best defensive wings as their stars. And then they roll out Marcus Morris and Batum and, they used to roll out Patterson. Patterson doesn't really do anything for them anymore. But, like, those are, like, four really solid guys. And two of them were absolutely elite. And so, like, that is really tough to do stuff against. And, like, Zubac has done really well for them in stretches. And, like, when he wasn't starting, when they are going small, like, KP drawing the five, like, the main use for him on offense is, like, drawing the rim protector out to the three-point line and just being there. And when you've got an all-small lineup and KP isn't strong enough to go and bully those smaller guys in the post, he just takes those mid-range shots because he just doesn't have that thickness that some of the bigger guys do. Like, it's hard for him to, like, kind of do anything but, all right, I'm just going to floor space out here and take one of their perimeter defenders out. We'll see if I can make some 30-foot catch and shoot threes.
Yeah. So playing to let me train him, honestly, and build that base up. But, I mean... Dude, it's dude, same thing. Dwight Powell has all these muscles and they feel like show muscles because I'm like, you shouldn't be getting thrown around the way you do, but we're working on it. So, I don't know, dude, can we have a crumb? Can we have another wing defender? You know, they seem to have plenty to go around.
Okay, so we got
just spread out some of Boban's thickness, like, just redistribute the wealth.
So, dude, the way it made me feel was like, last post game pod, you guys were talking, and it was like, at this point, freaking throw Tyler Bay out there to guard someone or something. Like, Jesus.
So, okay, so we got three more questions. Let's see. Dr. Martin, who I don't believe is a doctor, but anyway, says, what does Luka's lack of scoring in the fourth quarter say about our role players in the playoffs? Bro, they have to step up. Like, Luka's one guy. Like, you know, and I know, like, superstars in the NBA, they can influence games, like, pretty heavily, but the problem is that Luka's going up against, like, two, like, one superstar, and I'm like, one very, like, borderline, like, all-star superstar guard player, like, you know, like,
I mean, Paul George is a damn superstar. He did have a top three MVP
at this, at this point, like, but
especially,
like,
with what he's doing now,
but it's like, you have to, like, it's like, you have to step up, you know, you have to, yes, like, you know, Tim and KP, like, and at this point, unfortunately, like, KP is a role player on this team, you know, like, for, in my eyes, like, KP and Tim, KP and Tim had really clutch, like, three-pointer shots, you know, like, it's just what it is, you know, like, and you have to hit those shots when you're open. Like, there were so many times where Dorian and Tim were open and didn't hit a shot, and I was like, oh my god, bro, like, you had to hit that shot. Like, we could have been... We could have won this game by, like, 15. Like, you know, like...
It's a game four.
But, yeah, you know? It's just, like, it's fucking annoying. But, like, you know, like, for role players, like if Luka gets you open, you have to hit that shot. Like, you know, like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, you have to. So...
Right. It's we're Hamilton to this shit. We're outgunned. We're outmanned. And at the end of the day, we need one freaking all-worldly talent to put it together, or else we're shit out of luck.
Outgunned, outmanned, outnumbered, but not outplanned. Rick Carlisle with the 5,000 IQ Bobby and KP lineups that actually work. Like, that is, like, literally, like, the one, like, chess movie had to play. And, like, it kind of worked in stretches earlier, and I'm like, I don't think this is sustainable. And it wasn't really working nearly as well as it did tonight. I think they must have spent the last couple of games like, all right, or the last couple of days off, like, all right, we're doing this, like, we are committing fully, and I need everyone to be just 110% in on this, and it might work.
It
and
might it be did. Crazy enough to work. It did. It absolutely did.
It literally was.
I don't know how you can look at this game if you had any doubt and still be calling for this coach's head. Like, Twitter chill. God, no. I love y'all, but Carlisle.
Twitter is not.
Let's check the roster quality first and not call for a Hall of Fame coach's head, shall we? So that was an amazing adjustment, and they worked on it.
What,
you could just tell.
One of five coaches, I think, that's active in the league that has a championship. I don't even think it's five. I think it's just like four.
Three. So
there's Spoelstra, Nurse, and
and Carlisle. Vogel.
Oh, and yeah. Oh, and also Steve Kerr.
That's true.
Like, in the day the players start, you know, giving you any inclination that it's a coaching problem, then you can pull that shit. Because typically, where that's the issue, it's very clear on those teams. The only person that said anything all season was KP, but that was more for selfish purposes. In the context of, like, I'm not comfortable with my rotation, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. But nothing like, we lost because Rick sucks as a coach. Most of the time, the players are like, yeah, I made this mistake, or I did this. It's not a coaching issue.
The reason why I don't blame Rick
kicked ass.
Because most of the time when I feel like we lose, we get the shots we want. We just don't hit them.
It's fucking personnel.
That's always what it comes down to. I mean, also, I just think back to, like, Rick getting us to wins with Mike James as our starting point guard.
Seriously.
But, like, that's really what it comes down to. You can't knock the guy for just trying to make the most of what he was given when he usually isn't given much. And because we have Luka, everyone just expects that to make everything magically work. It's not a situation with, like, Trey, where he was like, yo, I'm trying to compete right now. And the Hawks went, all right, we're going to go all in to try and get you an overall better roster to compete right now. And they did it. And look at them. Where it was like, they're like, yo, Luka, you're a first team all
pro. To be fair to him also, they did have more young pieces. They did have more around him. The players around him, like Kevin Herter, the guys who had been there, and John Collins and a couple other guys. I mean, they did get Rondo, and that was a playoff thing. The one move I would have loved that the Hawks made that I would have loved to see the Mavs make, besides getting Bogey, obviously they couldn't do that. But Clint Capella, he would make all the difference on the team. And I thought that from the start, and I'm like, I don't know. And now that I'm seeing what he's doing, I'm like, why did I ever doubt myself? No.
I was hoping that's where you were going with that. Because, man, oh, man, I watched him play earlier. Like, God, it'd be nice to have a center like that with Luka.
He averages 17 and 17 against the Knicks.
Jesus, dude.
He had injury struggles all year. He got healthy at the right time.
Rebounding team. It's even a really good rebounding team, too. And he's averaging those kind of boards and making that kind of a difference. And, like, I don't know, people made a whole lot of, like, him getting, like, quote-unquote played off the court when he was in Houston. But I was like, it's a different game now. There's no Warriors death lineup to play him off the court. Like, most of these good teams that are remaining have bigs that make a difference, like Jokic and, you know, the Nuggets, the Blazers, basically, like, all the teams that are left in the West, they all have a pretty good big. I mean, Ayton's really emerging as that.
Yeah, Ayton has been fucking great, dude. I'm happy for
him. I'm worried if the Mavs move on to the next round. Wait, they don't play. Do they play No, they play Utah. Never mind. Sorry,
my
matchup.
Confused. That'll be a fucking a series for sure.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Let's focus on Game Six.
Job's not done.
One step at a time.
So see, Mavs. Last question for the night. Mavs Room asks. What plays should Rick run for KP? Also, do we need to see another 40-point Luka Doncic to get a Game 6 win?
I'll take this one off rip.
Okay.
Rick shouldn't run plays for KP unless he's being guarded by a chair. Ooh. And even that sparingly.
Ooh, even that.
And it's because, it's the matchup thing. It's the matchup.
Depends on the chair.
If he's got, like, Beverly on him, like, and he's 3 feet away, throw him the ball. But don't we can't run plays for him. He can't create in this series. It's too hard.
The play should be a pick and roll.
I'm not even being a dick. I'm just saying.
I have a counterpoint. I have one play that they should run. The play is let KP's body be possessed by Dirk. Run that play.
Is that a play?
Voodoo is the play.
That's black magic.
It's more of a voodoo, but like Rick Carlisle is a warlock, so like maybe he can figure out how to do it. I think
the NBA
has got a lot of money. We have the technology.
I think the NBA outlawed blood magic in the new CBA. I might be wrong.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't think we can do that.
Damn it.
Yeah, we tried that before.
Another NBA conspiracy targeting the Mavericks.
God damn it.
So look at Mavs room. Second question. I would say that I'm sure we do need to see another 40-point, you know, Luka game. I need to see a 40-point triple-double, bro. Like, I think next game he just needs to go fucking all out, bro. Like, just crush their fucking necks and do not let them fucking, like, get up for air, bro. Just fucking destroy them. Like, that's what he has to do next game. Like,
yep.
There's fucking blood in the water. It depends on what you do with that blood in the water. You know, like,
there's gonna be appendages in the water.
Yeah, bro. Like, he just has to fucking destroy them, dude. Like,
I'm glad this kind of franchise changing series.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
it makes, like, we talk all the time about, like, and we have for years about, like, Luka's fun. People are gonna want to play with Luka and KP and whatever, and like, we haven't really seen that. The Mavs also haven't had cap space to make that happen, but like, they go on to the second round, they beat these Clippers, like, that accentuates that timeline. It speeds it up. I should say accelerates, not accentuates, but like, this really is a put your ass on the map series, like it was for the Hawks. Like it was for the Hawks. They're like, okay, we're freaking here.
For sure. I think it's, honestly, I think it's less about 40 points and more about plus 12 assists. Because to me, that shows that the role players are getting it in. And that's really because we've already seen Luka put up a bunch of points and us lose. Like, it's, I think it comes down to really the assist. And if other people are going to step up as well. Yes.
Because he was talking tonight in the post-game press conference I saw. And he was like, I took too many shots. And I was like, buddy, you take as many shots as you need. Especially towards the end when, like, just those two. I mean, it felt like everything was missing, but like, it really wasn't. It was just those two really big ones, big open threes from Dorian and from Tim that are just like, oh God, Luka, just take every single shot. Like, that's kind of how it felt like when you missed those ones in the fourth quarter. Like,
here's a fun stat, and then I have some thoughts too. Nick Wright tweeted, the Mavs just beat the Clippers in a game where they made six baskets the entire game that weren't scored or assisted by Luka.
Fuck.
Yes, it was 31 out of 37. I saw that.
Absolutely insane.
God damn. Okay.
Those are my player numbers. Like, straight up.
Literally my player numbers.
Jesus.
Yeah. When you're like, that was, for me, it was my player numbers when I was feeling
generous.
I wanted 100 assists.
Yeah, but my player runs the pick and roll, bro. Like, with KP, bro. Like, this is not. Like,
exactly.
I constantly run the pick and roll, bro. Mm. Like, oh, damn, dude.
To chime on that question, yeah, Luka, so the blood is in the water. And another thought, because we were talking about what the Mavs need to do earlier for the next game. Our role players haven't had a good game now three games in a row, really, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
So they're due. There's blood in the water. Luka's going to be hype as shit from the crowd. It just could be the perfect storm. And I really hope it is. I'm excited as fuck.
A big Godo shooting game, I think, is due.
Yeah.
Especially like,
absolutely. Tim, too.
Coming off of the fourth quarter he had. Yeah, no, Tim dropped 20, and he didn't have that great a shooting game.
Like,
if those two guys, like, shoot, like, over 50% from the floor, both of them, that's, like, that's going to be just ginormous.
Or just to be able to say the phrase, the Porzingis game.
Oh, I talked about that on my podcast today. Like,
honestly, give me 15 points from Porzingis, and if Tim and Dorian make over half their shots, I think that's a win. Even if Luka only drops like 30,
Only 30. So only 30. John, what were you saying?
I think that Tim is like, Tim's gonna hit threes regardless. If he takes 20, he's gonna hit threes. My thing is like what happened in game three. I think it was game three. Yeah, where he hit 4 threes and went 0 of 8 from inside the arc. Because the thing that made him different this year, I feel especially because, you know, I'm in New York. I've seen plenty of Tim Hardaway on the Knicks. It's he was driving to the basket and yeah, he was driving to the basket and finishing like efficiently. So I feel like once you get him scoring all around and once he's actually driving, it changes how they defend him as well. Like it opens everything.
I totally agree. And he was getting to the line more too this year. I mean, in that the very first play, they were determined to get like Tim Hardaway to the line. They had like what, 3 or 4 screens set for him. And he tried to, I don't even remember who it was. He tried to like dunk that man into the shadow realm and end the game on the first damn play. And he almost connected on that dunk.
I love it.
But instead he ended up getting free throws. Like I was so hyped. I'm like, that's a really good sign for this Mavs team.
Yeah. Those are all the questions we were going to take today. We got a shit ton of questions this time, but again, because the playoffs, again, because we're recording these when people work the next morning. I don't, because I'm a teacher, but everyone else works, I think, tomorrow morning. So we're going to cut it here. I will say thank you guys for rocking with us. Hoops and FFIs and the MFFLs throughout the playoffs. It's been a fucking blast. It's been very nerve-wracking. I have drank more beer tonight than I have in the last week, which is kind of a lot. You can find me at Reddit Mavericks on Twitter and on Instagram. You can find Squish at Squish41 on Twitter. Bryce, where can we find you?
At Bryce Patrick. That's Bryce with an I, Patrick with no K on Twitter. And I don't know. Don't worry about my Instagram. Don't follow my Instagram.
and John, where can we follow you?
You guys can follow my podcast page at Saratobi Sports, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We got some stuff, a bunch of stuff with Ruben at this point, including one TikTok that's at 25K right now.
Oh, what the fuck, and, bro?
Yeah, man.
Bro, you got Invincible. You got to run me that check, bro.
Listen, when the creator fund comes in, and you guys could follow my Twitter at Offended Normal.
All right, guys. So. That concludes this podcast. We will see you guys on Friday. Hopefully talking about some good news, but we'll see. See you guys later.
Good pod, good vibes, good night.
Job's not done.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.